Begin reading in Luke chapter 4, and we're going to pick up in verse 31. "And came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. They were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God.' And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Hold thy peace, and come out of him.' And the devil had thrown him in the midst. He came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, 'What a word is this! For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out.' The fame of him went out from into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. The devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, 'Thou art Christ, the Son of God.' And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he would not depart from them. And he said unto them, 'I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent.' And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee." So last time we were reading previously in Luke, and we read how that Christ went to Nazareth, and he read from the book of Isaiah. In particular, verse 18 said, he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." So he read that, and the Bible lets us know that he sat down and he declared that this day are these scriptures fulfilled. And so what he was doing with that is he was declaring himself to be the anointed of God, the Messiah, the Christ, the one that is to bring good news and healings and sight to the blind and deliverance, and the one who's going to bring reconciliation to God and man, a restoration of fellowship. Now we know that Nazareth didn't receive him. They just couldn't believe that the man that they had watched grow up, that he was really the Christ. They just could not accept that. So what we've just read is that he left there, and he went to Capernaum. And it's there that he demonstrates undeniably that he is the Christ. It's there that he puts on display his authority. And that authority is immediately apparent. The Scripture says that they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. The word power there is a word that means authority. So he spoke with authority. You remember when he spoke on the Sermon on the Mount, that they were astonished at what he said, because he spoke as one who had authority. That's what the Scriptures tell us. So Jesus is indeed the Messiah. And he's showing that he's the Messiah by his authority. And certainly, if he is the Christ, then he has all authority. All authority. That's what the Scriptures say about Jesus. It's what Jesus says about himself. In John chapter 3 and verse 34, he says, "The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things unto his hand." When he says that the Father has given me all things, he means that he has put everything under me. I have all authority. Remember when in Matthew, before he ascended up into heaven, He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So in other words, I have all authority here on the earth and in heaven. I'm in charge. I am Lord. That's what he was saying about himself. And certainly as we read the scriptures, we see that that is what the early church taught. I want to read a few portions of scripture. The first one is Philippians chapter 2. Listen to what he says there. Familiar verse, verse 9. Speaking of Christ, he said, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So here's what Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. And what he's saying is that, listen, his name is above every name, and everything will one day bow before him and declare him to be the Lord, the one in authority. We could go over to Colossians chapter 1. In verse 16, he said, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." So he is the creator. He is the one that spoke everything into existence. Christ is. He is the one for whom all things are created. So all of this, and when he speaks here of thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, he's speaking of the visible world and the invisible world. The physical world and the spiritual world. So he has all authority over everything, heaven and earth, as we've already read in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's back up to that. Verse 20. Well, verse 19. We'll go back to verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And listen, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Now, all of that, again, refers to both the physical world and the spiritual world. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And it put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So with all these verses, what we are reminded is, we're reminded of the preeminence of Christ. We're reminded that he's not just another teacher. He's not just somebody who came along with his own unique set of ideas. And as one person told me one time, that certainly knew a lot about God. He's not just another teacher. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the one that is sent from God, who is anointed by God to bring reconciliation and redemption to all who would believe. And you may be thinking to yourself, well, okay, all right. Jesus is in charge. I get that. What's the big deal? Why does that matter? Why should I care about that? To what end? Why does he have all this power? Why has God given him all this power? Because it is necessary for him to have all authority if he is to redeem himself, to himself, a people. He must have all authority. If he's going to redeem us and guide us to glory, which is the great plan of God, if he's going to do that, if he's going to accomplish that, he has to have all power, all authority. There can be nothing that can stand against him if he is going to accomplish the work God has given him to do. Now, I want you to stop and just for a moment, I want you to think about the promises of the gospel. Just think with me just for a moment of all that comes to us through Christ. Let's begin with forgiveness of sins. He has the authority to forgive us all sins. And that's what comes to us through Christ. That's what comes to us through His blood. All who believe are forgiven all sins. Past sins, present sins, future sins. Everything is paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ because He has all authority to give us that forgiveness. We have eternal life. We've talked about this many times. We studied about it last week in Sunday school. That we have been given eternal life. All who believe are given eternal life to know God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. That's what eternal life is. It is not just the idea of living a long time. It is the idea of being given life. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. But He has quickened you. He has made you alive. That's what we read about. And last year, I guess it was, when we were studying 1 John. Over and over again, John reminds us of the fellowship, the communion that we have with God through Jesus Christ. And that's what it is. That's life in Christ, to be alive to God. So that comes to us through Christ. He has the authority to give us that life, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's what comes to us through the gospel, through Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, giving us the desire to obey and the power to obey. That comes to us through Christ so that you and I can please Him. A permanent reconciliation with God. He has the authority to bring a permanent reconciliation with God. You and I, who are saved, have been permanently reconciled to God. We are no longer sheep gone astray, but we have been returned, as the Scripture says, to the Shepherd and Bishop of our soul. He has begun a work in us that He will most assuredly complete. He says, I will save them to the uttermost. That there will never come a time that they would be loosed from my hand. This is all ours through Christ. How can God make those promises? How can Christ give us those things? Because He has all authority. Everything. I want you to think about even a statement that's made over in the book of Romans. It's a beautiful, beautiful passage. Verse 38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Neither the physical world, nor the spiritual world, the earthly, the heavenly, nothing. Nothing in heaven or earth can separate you from the love of God. This is the assurance that we have through the gospel. How can we be so sure? How can we be so certain that some demon might not come up and pull us away from God? Because Christ has all authority. He's in charge. He is Lord. He is sovereign. He is sovereign. The idea that there is nothing that is not within His power. Nothing that is not under His authority. Now the passage that we've just read in Luke, He puts this authority on display. We see it at the beginning when He's in the synagogue and there's a man there and He begins to cry out. Now this man had seemingly been at the synagogue countless times. Seemingly undisturbed. He's demon-possessed. And these Pharisees and these scribes and these others who would speak and talk about all the things that they had read that the rabbis had said. He could sit in there and he could listen to that week after week after week after week. And he's not bothered. But now the one who has authority the Christ. He comes. And He speaks the Word of God. And all of a sudden, He cries out, "Let us alone!" I don't know why He uses the plural there. Maybe he's speaking of all demons. But nonetheless, he cries out, "Let us alone!" There's terror in His voice. "Have you come to destroy us? Is that why you're here?" The demon is terrified. Why? Because he knows who Christ is. He knows the authority that He has. He's the Holy One of God. If you look in the Scriptures, you find that all the demons know who Jesus is. People don't. People are routinely blinded to the truth of Christ and blinded to the reality of the spiritual world. We talked this morning and was taught in Sunday school and even in the devotional about the reality of hell. And we talked or was taught about how that so often, you know, that's something that people think of it almost in cartoonish characters. I mean, they have a picture of the devil in this little man with red man, little red demon with a pitchfork and a pointed tail. And they picture hell, and I've seen cartoons of hell where people are walking around and just having a good old time. And what we heard this morning is that's not the case. That hell is a very real place. A place of eternal torment, a place where the Bible says the smoke billows up for all eternity. A place of eternal damnation, a place where you are eternally separated from God. I agree with what was taught this morning that I believe that it will be the most loneliest place that anyone could ever imagine. I don't think that we can fathom. Solitary confinement does not capture the solitude of hell. Mainly because we are separated from God for whom we were created. We were designed for this relationship with God. And in hell, we are separated from Him. He says, "Depart from me." That's what Christ says. The one who has authority. He says, "Depart from me." So hell is a real place. And yet, so many people are blinded to it. We just can't imagine that is real. We don't want to. The Bible says that men love darkness rather than light. We in our nature do not like the truth. We don't like to hear that we're sinners. We don't want to hear that we are condemned by a righteous judge to hell. We want to think we're not that bad. Yet the Scriptures tell us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that we were created for God, and that our love for sin separates us from God. We love sin, not God. It tells us that because of that, we are condemned and on the road to hell. And the only hope we have is to appeal to someone who has the authority to save our soul. The Bible tells us that this spiritual world that we can't see is real. We doubt it. Even church people doubt it sometimes. We want to dismiss the supernatural. How many times have people come to church? They've been bothered by something. They've been troubled by something. Maybe they've been guilty of something. The preacher gets up and he preaches about it. And they say, "Well, I wonder who's been talking to him. Somebody told the preacher on me, obviously." Or maybe we go from church to church and we find that every church that we go to, the preacher is preaching the same thing. And we say, "Well, that is really a coincidence." And so we dismiss this idea of the Holy Spirit pursuing us with the truth. We want to block it out of our mind. But the Bible is clear that this spiritual world exists. I think about, we read here about demons. And I oftentimes wonder about the bizarre things that we see taking place in this world. And I wonder how much of it is because of demons. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we see the reality of this is a reminder, again, of the great need for someone who has authority over that world. And Christ has that authority. And He puts it on display. This man cries out, and Christ rebukes him and commands the demon to come out. And we see the image there of the man being cast onto the floor and writhing, convulsing perhaps. What a sight that must have been. Can you imagine being in the synagogue and every week it's the same old thing. Somebody gets up there and they read, somebody talks, you're just kind of bored with the whole situation, and now we've got this new rabbi coming up. This new teacher, and so Jesus begins to speak. And He speaks with authority and power. And this man who is demon-possessed, the demon cannot abide it. He cries out, and then Jesus rebukes him and tells him to come out of him, and he's cast on the floor, and he writhes in pain and anguish, perhaps, until he comes out of him. Could you imagine being in that synagogue that day, and you're just like, this is wild. I mean, and again, you know, the people are astonished. What a word is this, they say. What a word is this? For with authority and power, He commands the unclean spirits, and they obey. Christ has that authority. So, question. If Christ has this authority to deliver this man from the grip of Satan, does He have authority over that which grips us? Listen to what He says in the book of Colossians. It's a reminder to everyone that is saved, and it is hope to everyone who seeks salvation. Listen to what He says in verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. This is a description, again, of all believers. We were once in the grip of the kingdom of darkness. We were trapped in the power of darkness. We were that person who was, in a sense, again, demon-possessed. Not literally, not in the sense that we were, that there was an evil spirit dwelling in us, but we were in His grip. We were under His authority. But by the word of Christ, we've been delivered. I think about this. I was thinking about this last night, meditating on these verses. I thought about how many testimonies have been given of drunkards who came to Christ and left the bottle. Drug addicts. People who others said, there's just no hope. There's no way. They're too far gone. But because of Christ, they are completely, wholly delivered. It's one of the reasons why I'm not a big fan of talking about drug addiction as a disease that is never healed. Because I've seen people who've been healed from it. Well, because Christ has done that. He brings healing. Thought about maybe who are people who have been caught up in, frankly, every kind of sexual immorality you could think of, and some that you couldn't think of, delivered from the guilt and the shame of that, to go on and live good lives, honorable lives, because of Christ. I thought about people who are bound in bondage to their own pride and arrogance, being humbled before God, such that they wept openly before God and cried out for deliverance and found deliverance in Christ. People from all walks of life, both sides of the tracks, as they say, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, every race, every hue of color. I thought about in the book of Revelation, which I know I've read it to you before, but you can handle it again. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And behold, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders. And a number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. What a powerful, powerful image that is. People from every nation, every tribe, all praising Jesus Christ and acknowledging Him as Lord. This is possible because Christ has all authority. There is nothing that is not under His authority. We see back in Luke how that He goes back to Peter's house. Maybe Peter said, Look, Lord, let's go back to our house. My mother-in-law, she'll fix supper for us. She'll fix us some good Sabbath dinner. Gets back there and she's sick in the bed with a fever. And they begin to entreat, the Lord, can you do anything for her? He stands before her and He rebukes the fever. And it leaves her. I mean, again, you know, the authority of Christ is on display, that even the fever, even the disease, is subject to Him. He has all power, all authority. You remember how He rebuked the wind? Peace be still! I would have loved to have seen that. I mean, wouldn't that just have been the most terrific thing to see? That this great storm, and I know that, that Brother Kendall's out on the ocean, and I know that Brother Kevin, he goes out on the boats and stuff like this, and you know I don't swim. So the idea of being on the ocean or being in the water like that is really not appealing to me whatsoever. But to be in a storm, look, I'd cry like a girl. I mean, that's terrifying. I've seen pictures of these winds and these waves, and they're just gigantic. And the ship going down and up and down and up. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want that. But for Christ to be able to stand before this great storm and say, Peace be still. And just to calm. I've seen a painting that has a picture of Christ. You really can't see Christ. And I like that painting because you just see Him at the bow of the boat just doing this right here. And there's this perfect calm. I love that painting. Because that's what he has that authority. I mean, if Christ has the authority to calm the storm that is without, can He not calm the storm that is within? I mean, that's the point, isn't it? I mean, isn't this what we're seeing in the Scripture? I mean, later on, Jesus goes to His house and people after people after people, person after person after person, comes to Him with all manners of diseases. This one comes and he's lame. And Jesus heals him. Another one comes and he's blind. And now he sees. Another one comes and he's deaf. And now he hears. The dumb speak. People who come with demons in them. And one run after the other are delivered from that. mean, again, the point of this is, again, to remind us of this great physician who heals all diseases. Isn't that who Christ is? He has that authority. Christ has that authority even still. So what ails you? I mean, it's really something. I mean, just stop and think about this. That here I am standing before you and I'm telling you about a Christ who has all authority over everything. Are you poor in spirit? Do you need the comfort of someone who has the authority over those things which weighs you down so much? You brokenhearted? Do you need to be lifted up and encouraged by something that is bigger than yourself? Are you bound by sin? Trapped? Seemingly unable to break free from some particular sin that you want to be delivered from? Well, go to the physician. I mean, Christ has what we need. Whether it is literal healing, He has that power. Or just the grace to endure what we think is unbearable. I mean, whatever it is that we need, He has it. And He knows what we need. He knows what is best. I'm not talking about health and wealth. Or name it and claim it, as they say, where you just command God. That would not be His authority, would it? If we could demand of God what He should do, who's in authority? I'm talking about the One who's in charge. Who knows you better than you know yourself. Who stands before you and He says to you, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you. Learn of Me." He says, "My yoke is easy and My burden is light." That's the Christ that we read about in the Scripture. We read about a Christ who has the authority to love us with a love that we can't even imagine. And He stands calling upon us, saved and unsaved. "Come to Me." Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless, how's it go? Pain we bear. Why? Because we don't go to Christ in prayer. This is a marvel. It is a wondrous, marvelous truth that Christ has all authority. There's nothing that is not under His authority. There's no problem too big. There's no person who is so far gone that cannot be reached. Everything is under His authority. He tells us in Ephesians, He says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Amen? That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we worship. That's the God that we sing about. A God who has all authority, and He says to us, "Come to Me." He invites us, saved, unsaved. Maybe you're here today and you're lost. You understand that Christ has the authority to save your soul? That He has demonstrated His love for you by dying in your place. That He will bring to you restoration, fellowship with God, eternal life, forgiveness of all sins. That's what He offers you. Are you saved and drifting from God? And you say, well, you know, I'm sure that He won't love me now. I have failed Him. And yet He says, no man can pluck them out of my hand. No man. There's no way to lose His love. To be in any way separated from Him. He is far more committed to us than we are to Him. And He says, come. Come to me. Walk with me. Walk before me in this life. Share your life with me. He has all authority. And He says for us to come.